Jack keep going. You can't turn back. You come too far. You can't give up. You work too hard. Jack keep going.
Hello, fabulous scholars and future PhDs. I hope your coffee is strong, your reading glasses are smudge-free, and you haven't lost your research notes yet. Remember that time I spilled an entire latte on my qualitative research notes? Talk about adding flavor to my data. Ah, the adventures of academia. Well, greetings from Writers ER, your doctoral life buoy. We've been there, late night writing, endless revisions, and that one piece of feedback that just makes you want to scream into your pillow. That's why we're here, to walk this challenging journey with you, hand in hand. Sip that coffee and lean in, because today we are diving deep. Have you ever tried explaining the concept of qualitative research to a five-year-old? Imagine telling them it's like listening to everyone's unique story at a bustling family reunion, then trying to make sense of why Aunt Karen always brings that dreadful tuna casserole. The why is where the magic happens, folks. And speaking of why, we're going to focus on something fundamental today, reflexivity. You see, in qualitative research, we don't just parachute into people's lives, gather stories, and leave. We're not mere spectators. Our own backgrounds, experiences, and feelings can influence how we interpret those stories. Recognizing and addressing that is what reflexivity is all about. So get ready to do a bit of soul searching, but don't fret. By the end of this, you won't just understand reflexivity. You'll be ready to embrace it, practice it, and maybe, just maybe, give Aunt Karen's tuna casserole another chance. All right, let's dive in. All right, dear scholars, let's play a little game, shall we? I want you to close your eyes. Unless you're driving, then please, for the love of academia, keep them open. Imagine standing in front of a mirror. The kind of mirror that shows all, the one at grandma's house that never misses a spot, even that pesky spinach between your teeth. Got the image? Good. Now think back. When you looked into that mirror, what did you see? Apart from the fashion-forward academic with maybe a little too many post-it notes in their hair, you saw a reflection, right? An image that showcased the reality of that moment. Okay, eyes open. Let's bring this back to our world of research. Reflexivity, folks, is much like that mirror. It's about taking a hard look at our own reflections, not just what we see on the outside, but what lies deep within. Reflexivity, in simple terms, is self-awareness. It's critically reflecting on our own biases, our beliefs, and understanding how our relationship to the research and its participants can influence the outcome. It's not just about what we think, but how we think and why we think that way. Now, why is reflexivity so darn important, you ask? Well, let me tell you, by being reflexive, we ensure that our research doesn't just become a mix of preconceived notions and biases. We pave the way for trustworthiness and authenticity. Imagine baking a cake and not tasting it along the way to make sure it's just right. That's qualitative research without reflexivity. And nobody, I mean nobody, wants a salty cake when they were aiming for sweet. Reflexivity allows us to acknowledge our perspectives and then set them aside, ensuring our research represents the participants' experiences and not just our own interpretations. It's like ensuring that mirror is spotless and gives a true reflection. So next time you catch a glimpse of yourself, whether in a physical mirror or the metaphorical mirror of your research, remember the importance of seeing clearly and the value of self-awareness. Because, dear listeners, in the world of qualitative research, clarity and authenticity are the name of the game. All right, let's journey back in time a bit. Picture this, a bustling university campus, students scurrying around with their backpacks, and among them, Dr. Fiona, an enthusiastic researcher, armed with her notepad and recorder, eager to study the dynamics of student interaction. Now, Fiona had been a popular student during her university days, always in the middle of social events, a beacon in every group. She believed that every student had a fantastic social life just like hers. So when she began her research, she went in with rose-tinted glasses, only looking for stories that mirrored her own experiences. The result? Well, her research painted a picture of a university life that looked like an ongoing party, completely overlooking those who felt left out or were struggling with social connections. When her paper was published, there was a public outcry from students who felt their experiences were invalidated. Fiona's personal bias had unintentionally skewed her results. Let's pivot back to our discussion on reflexivity. Had Fiona practiced reflexivity, she would have recognized her biases and maybe even approached her research differently. You see, by being reflexive, researchers can counteract these blinding biases. It's like having a navigation system that reroutes you when you're about to take a wrong turn. Beyond just preventing mishaps, reflexivity allows for a richer, more profound understanding of the phenomena we're researching. It's like peeling back layers of an onion. Each layer you peel away, while maybe bringing a tear to your eye, exposes a new depth, a fresh perspective. Moreover, and this is crucial, reflexivity plays a vital role in acknowledging the power dynamics in research. As researchers, we have a degree of power in how stories are told, interpreted, and shared. But with great power comes, you guessed it, great responsibility. Reflexivity ensures that this power is not misused, that we're not inadvertently silencing voices or pushing our narratives onto participants. In a nutshell, while research is about understanding, reflexivity ensures that this understanding is genuine, deep, and ethically sound. So to all the budding Dr. Fionas out there, remember, reflexivity is not just a buzzword. It's your compass, guiding you towards meaningful, authentic research. All right, scholars, strap in. We're about to transition from theory to action. We've talked the talk, now let's walk the walk. Here's a step-by-step guide on implementing reflexivity in your research. Keep your pens poised and notebooks ready. Step one, journaling. Yes, I know, it sounds like something out of a self-help book, but trust me on this. Before you dive into data collection, start a journal. Document your feelings, your assumptions, and interactions. Continue this during and after your data collection. It's a goldmine of self-awareness. And here's a pro tip. Dedicate just 10 minutes daily to this. Set a timer. Whether it's first thing in the morning or just before bed, make it a ritual. Step two, feedback. You know that saying, you don't know what you don't know? This is where your peers and mentors come in. Share your findings, your interpretations, and let them be the mirror reflecting any biases you might have missed. Quick challenge for you. Before our next podcast, identify three individuals who can be your reflexivity partners. It's like having a research buddy system. Step three, triangulation. Fancy word, simple concept. To validate your findings, use multiple methods or sources. Think of it like cross-referencing in a detective novel. If you're conducting interviews, maybe add in some observational methods or surveys. Practical exercise time. Grab that journal and jot down your current research methods. Now, brainstorm one additional method you can use to diversify your data sources. Step four, transparent reporting. This is where you wear your heart on your sleeve, academically speaking. In your research write-ups, be transparent about any potential biases and clearly outline how you've addressed them. Your readers will thank you for it. And since we're all about actionable steps here, your homework, if you choose to accept it, is to draft a reflexivity statement for your next chapter or paper. Think of it as your research's behind-the-scenes snapshot. And there you have it. Four steps packed with action items to make reflexivity an integral part of your research routine. Remember, it's not about perfection, but progression. So take that first step and watch as your research journey transforms from just academic to deeply authentic. And as you delve into these tasks, always keep in mind, the journey of reflexivity isn't a solitary one. We're here cheering you on every step of the way. Now, before you rush off to put these steps into practice, let's talk about a few potholes on the reflexivity road. We don't want you stumbling, now do we? Pitfall number one, thinking reflexivity is just about acknowledging bias. Picture this, you're making a delicious soup. Now, bias acknowledgement is like tasting the soup and realizing you've added a bit too much salt. Reflexivity, on the other hand, is understanding why you added that extra salt in the first place and considering how it impacts the overall flavor. It's deep, introspective, and goes beyond a mere oops, I goofed up moment. Pitfall number two, overcompensating. We've all been there. We realize we've got a bias, and in trying to address it, we swing the pendulum way too far in the opposite direction. It's like trying to fix an oversalted soup by dumping in a truckload of sugar. Balance is key. Recognize your bias, reflect, and adjust subtly. Pitfall number 3, the been there, done that fallacy. Some researchers engage in reflexivity in the early stages and then, like a forgotten New Year's resolution, it's left behind as the research progresses. Remember, reflexivity isn't a one-time event, it's an ongoing process. It's like staying hydrated. You don't just drink water once and declare, I'm done for life. You keep sipping throughout the day. In essence, while reflexivity is an invaluable tool, it's crucial we wield it correctly. Be vigilant, stay aware, and dodge these pitfalls. Your research will thank you, and frankly, so will all those who benefit from your findings. And remember, while the path of reflexivity is filled with introspection, it's also filled with growth. So embrace it, warts and all, and watch as your research journey elevates to new insightful heights. All right, dear scholars, let's put a bow on today's discussion with a quick sprint through what we've unpacked. Number 1, reflexivity. It's the mirror of research, reflecting not just what we see, but what's deep within. Number 2, its role. Beyond just correcting biases, it's about diving deeper and understanding power dynamics. Number 3, implementation, journaling, feedback, triangulation, and transparent reporting, your 4 pillars. Number 4, pitfalls. Remember, it's not just bias acknowledgement, avoid overcompensation, and keep it ongoing, not just a one-time gig. Now, I want to leave you with this. Dive into reflexivity, not just for the richness it brings to your research, but for the personal growth it promises. It's an invitation to know yourself better, to be a better researcher, and frankly, to be a better human. Embrace it, cherish it, and let it guide you. Here's to seeing clearer, diving deeper, and growing authentically in our academic pursuits. All right, listeners, before we cap off today's enlightening session, here's your call to action. Want to delve deeper into reflexivity and up your qualitative research game? Head on over to the Writers ER website. We've curated some fantastic resources and tools tailor-made for you. Plus, there's a treasure waiting for you there. How to Get Your Dissertation Approved in 6 Months or Less by Dr. Anthony Robinson. Now, here's a guy who completed not one, but 2 dissertations in 6 months. Talk about goals. Grab this playbook at writersER.com/playbook and ignite your research journey. Now, we want to hear from you. As you embark on your reflexivity adventure, share your experiences, your insights, your aha moments. Use the hashtag #reflexiveresearcher on social media, and let's create a ripple of reflective researchers worldwide. Curious about what's next on our podcast? Let's just say it's going to be a riveting dive into data interpretation and storytelling. Yep, turning those numbers and narratives into a compelling research story. You don't want to miss it. In wrapping up, a big thank you for tuning in. Never forget the power you wield with your research. Every story you tell, every insight you share, has the potential to make a difference. Until next time, keep reflecting, keep researching, and remember, the world needs your unique perspective. This is Writers ER signing off. Stay curious, dear scholars.